on behalf of our church family, it's a special privilege to be here. I welcome you. And you've been welcomed already, but on this beautiful day, you know that there are only a few worship options on a Saturday morning on this side of the river. And we are just so pleased to welcome any person who loves the Lord. You are so welcome in our family. And if you're looking for a church home, I'd like to personally. I want to start with three games. All right? Do you mind? Just imagine, if you think we shouldn't play games in church, just imagine that you're at a camp somewhere on a Saturday and you're worshiping. We do games a lot at summer camp, right? So these games all have a purpose. So Denise, would you tell us what are the three games? And so then you can begin to think, which one would I like to participate in?
Okay, anyone who's a good guesser can play the first game.
Anyone.
Anyone who with a cell phone can play the second game.
Okay, this is the day you've been waiting for. It's cell phone activity time, so get it out and get it ready to go.
And anyone who can count fast can play the third game.
I don't know. Do I have any people that can count really? You speak very quickly? Are there some of you that really can talk and you can count really fast? Okay, so you get ready to play the third game, all right? You'll be welcome to come right on up here and do that. So the first game is this, okay? I want you to imagine that there are several big events in June, all right? What is a big event coming up in 15 days? Yeah. I'm doing the sound effects, all right? Right. It rhymes with daughter. That's father. And then there's another one that rhymes with blessing. And that's, come on, in 15 days, count it out. What's happening in 15 days? It rhymes with blessing. It is a wedding. There you go. Okay, so that's great. So you can give the answer. Jen, so yeah. Toru. Next. Yes, 12 days from today. Tense. What is it? Camp meeting. You got it. There it is. And now let's have 8 days away. 8 days away. It's a big event. And there's a clue. There's a clue. The Torah. It's a little harder. Easy to hard, right? So here we go. Okay. Let's give it to them. Let's give the answer. It's Pentecost. Right now, we're at day 42 in a tradition and a festival that has been going for many, many years. Later, we'll find the answer to that. But Pentecost, so we're on day 42 of Pentecost, and 8 days, 50th day will happen. Okay? In next 2 days away, now I'm going to give you a clue, Quran. Anyone guess what's going to happen in 2 days? Ramadan. Wow, very cool. You got the right answer. And next. All right. So, yes, pomp, graduation, and a big shout out to SAA and AAA and any other A's or other graduations that are happening tomorrow and today. Here you go. Can you guess? Yes, it is. And anyone want to take a guess at how many? Yeah, you can do it. Give it a shot. 42, very close. Very close. Okay, it is, Denise?
Yes.
There you go, 44.
44.
All right. All right, praise the Lord. So, yeah, so this is a party. It's a wonderful day of rest and celebration because that's what God does. He's created families. He's created brains so that we can go to school. He's created opportunities for us to remember his greatness in our lives. And today, we are going to focus on something else. So I want you now to get your cell phones out. Okay, those of you that have them, and I need you to match the following days with dates. Okay, can you do it? Just match those numbers on top
with the three, the Father's Day, Ramadan, and Pentecost. Yeah, you can do it, right? Maybe you don't need a cell phone to do the... Okay, so what number matches with Father's Day? 116, you already knew that, good. What number matches Ramadan? 1406, somebody is, yes. And then the last one, Pentecost. So you can see that these are special days, but by far, the celebration, which is the longest celebration, is... Yes, and it's known as Shavuot. Shavuot. Can you say that with me? Shavuot. So if you have any Jewish friends, they will be so pleased that you know what Shavuot is and that you can wish them a happy Pentecost. But I'm hoping today that in learning about Shavuot, we will learn something about ourselves. Now it's time for the third game, and I need the counters. Those of you that like to count and you can really count quickly, come on up. On your mark, get set, go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50.
First, second, and third. There you go. Come, coach, and hold the hand of the person that you were working with, okay? We want to acknowledge wonderful work and praise God. Yeah, there you go. Raise your hands together, congregation. What do you do? Yes, amen. Thank you. And so what happened with the Feast of Weeks was that the first day of the Feast of Weeks is the first day of Pentecost. What you're going to find out from the Bible today is that both of these feasts go hand in hand. And so the first harvest was the barley harvest in the Middle East, and that's why they made bread out of barley. And so that's why I would have asked you to make two loaves of barley, and we would have sampled it. And the last day of Pentecost, 50... there is enough time for a growing season for the wheat, the winter wheat, to ripen. And so then they would make two loaves of wheat bread, and that would close the Feast of Weeks. So now you understand that Pentecost, 50 days, goes for 7 weeks, starts with barley, ends with wheat. Now here's what maybe you didn't know. The actual original Pentecost started on day one of crossing the Red Sea and ended day 50 with what I call the birthday, the mountain birthday, which is the title of our sermon today. The giving of the Torah, which is what? What does Torah mean? The law. The giving of the Torah to the children. 50 days. Do you know that God originally designed that when they would bust out of Egypt, at least a half a million men, probably a couple million if you add all the children, and maybe more if you added all the goats, the animals. Can you imagine just the logistics, those of you that are organizers? Can you imagine what it would have taken? And so for them to bust out of Egypt and that huge cloud of dust behind them as these thousands and thousands and thousands of families were free at last. And now they walk out and they're kind of like Marshmallow. She's never quite sure if she hears a sound. That's our dog. She hears a sound. She's always looking back. When we're on a walk, she's always looking back. And I say to her, listen, when was the last time I allowed a predator to get you from the back? It's never happened. But she still is always looking back. And I am imagining that the children were looking back thinking, this is too good to be true. Pharaoh gave us all these false starts. You can go, then the next day, no, you can't. You can go, then the next day, no, you can't. And now, finally, they are walking may be running until they get into the middle of a wadi, which is a valley from which there is no return. There was no sign that said dead end. And when they got, the scholars tell us now that they probably got into this valley, which from which they could not escape, and brought them to the shore of the Red Sea. And there they were, stuck, knowing full well that probably there were going to be people, soldiers, running after them.
When I was about 6 years old, I was chained like a slave to fear. I was afraid of riding on the merry-go-round, you know, the one they set up in the parking lot of the grocery store. My parents took me, and they offered me a ride on that horse, and I wanted to go in the worst way, but I was terrified. And finally, I said, okay, I would sit on the seat, you know, the one that's a seat for the parents or whatever. I sat on that. And then when it was over with, then I said, now I'm okay. Now I can go. And they said, no, that was your chance. Oh, I was so disappointed. But I was so afraid. I was afraid of the dark. Anybody here kind of afraid of the dark? Well, my closets were made out of wood. And the wood was dark. And it had a, like a light streak in it. And in the night, probably because I have bad eyes, my eyes would try to focus on that. Or if I accidentally left the closet door open, the clothes were in there. And they would move as my eyes tried to focus. And I really didn't like that. I was scared of it. I was afraid of Bobo and Fifi. They lived at the Woodland Park Zoo. And sometimes on Sabbath afternoon, we would go for a ride there and see all the animals. But I was sure that Bobo could get all the way to Federal Way and get
me. What was Bobo?
Bobo was a big gorilla. And I was really scared of him. Well, there was one thing that I was most afraid of, I think. And that was that maybe something might happen to my parents. That I might lose one of them or both of them. So that was another thing. Oh, yeah, fire. I don't know. It's enough.
Now, when I was 13... Yeah, that's Johnny at 13. I was chained like a slave to loneliness. I had just come back from the mission field. I didn't fit in very well. And I wanted to be friends with the boys who were good at sports. The only thing I was good at was soccer. I didn't know anything about baseball or basketball or football. But I couldn't get into their club. They weren't friends with me. I wanted to be noticed by the girls, if you can believe that, but they didn't seem to. I wanted to talk English like an American, not like this, you know. That's how I came back from the mission field, talking very nicely, and I hadn't yet learned the American way. And there's probably good reason why the kids were very scared to go with me, because they didn't know what kind of an animal I was, right? So I wanted to have a best friend, a boyfriend, a guy that I could chum around with. But I couldn't find one who would do that, who would be my friend. So instead, I was locked out of friendships. I was embarrassed, sometimes bullied, and shamed. Now, if you could just imagine what it had been like if you were a part of the children, God's children in Egypt. They had just spent years, decades being whittled down to just human robots, machines, to build the pyramids, to take these huge blocks of rock and create these wonderful, beautiful monuments which exist, which still persist to this day. And can you imagine every day waking up to being a slave under somebody else's control and being afraid, and moms being afraid that dads would not come home that day? Because maybe they got caught just waiting for a second to get their breath, and maybe they were beaten too much. Or children wondering if when their mamas went out to wash the clothes, if they would see them. And so after all of those years, they had hope. This guy named Moses, who was kind of messed up himself, but pretty well trained, came back and said, God has told me, I will be used to set you free. And nobody really was sure about it, but over time it happened. And finally the Passover came. And finally the day after the Passover, they broke out and began walking, quickly getting to the Red Sea. And that's where everything happened. Now, according this, supposedly this is the place, who knows? I can tell you in the Middle East, people make a lot of money identifying this is the original place. So if you really want to see it, well, come in here. You pay me a few, you know, shekels, and you will see the exact place. This could be the place. If it is, the water here, it's about a 10-mile stretch over to the mountains. The water goes down 3,000 feet. So if it really happened that God... If this is the place where when Moses held out his rod, the walls of water created a dry path. Can you imagine walking through that path? Can you imagine 3,000 feet high walls of water? Maybe it was a real aquarium where you could actually see fish. Hopefully they didn't swim out of the water, though some of you fishermen would have liked that. But they could, maybe you could see this cross section of walls of water, and the fish are swimming there. And it was dry ground, not mud. Those of you that have ever scuba dived or you've gone down under the water, where it's ocean, you put your feet down there. Sometimes you better be very careful because you could get hurt. But there's silt and sand. The idea that in one moment, a dry path could be made. And you know that probably they're behind you. And all of a sudden you start walking. And a 500,000 people, at least a 500,000 men, probably 2 million is probably the accurate count, would walk through that 10 miles. Now, 10 miles is a good hike. Those of you, how many of you can hike 10 miles in a day? You can do it, yeah. So, but 500,000 people? So most people suggest that it probably took them 3 days. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Would you have enough guts to bed down on the path and say, I'm going to sleep tonight, and you know that water is there, and maybe you just saw a barracuda swim by, and you just hope that barracuda didn't, you know, can you imagine? And so you laid down, and it took you 3 days to get through over to the other side. And you did it because you were afraid. You did it because you were lonely. You did it because you had been enslaved, and this was your last chance. You did it because you believed God was leading you, that Moses had some supernatural powers. But it didn't take long for us to recognize that the level of faith in this crowd of a couple million people was not too deep. For in 50 days after they crossed this body of water, they ended up at Mount Sinai. It was God's plan to get them clear across the Jordan River to their new land, to their new digs, in 3 months. So now in 7 weeks, they had gotten to Sinai. They had experienced air conditioning with a pillar of cloud during the day and a beautiful warm cloud by night to give them light. They had experienced food, vegetarian food, that came down from heaven, but for the non-veg people. They had nice poultry or birds, you know. They'd eaten their fill. They had gotten a river in the wilderness out of just a rock to feed 2 million and all of their livestock. And this had happened each of those days, those 7 weeks, as they went from the Red Sea and finally came to the mountain where God was going to meet. And the Bible indicates that many of the leaders went up on the mountain and they actually saw God as he was handwriting and preparing the Torah, the laws by which these people would be put together. Their identity would be forged. So here it is. Here it is now. And I just want to help you understand that the same feelings that we have as kids and maybe adults of uncertainty, of hopelessness, of fear, are those same feelings that they had even when they saw a daily outpouring of miracles in their lives. So don't get down on yourself too much. If you know that God has blessed you, you know that. You can look back and you can see over and over again how he has taken care of you. And yet you wake up on a given day, maybe last week, and you wondered. You wondered. Is it worth it? Is he really real? Is this just a fake? Am I just going through the motions? Does he really have the peace that passes all understanding? My head is about ready to explode. Those of you that were not here this morning for Sabbath school, you missed a wonderful jewel shared by Melissa. Melissa, raise your hand. Melissa, yes. As she talked to us about busyness. And I told her at the end that she basically conducted the day of judgment, because every one of us in the crowd here, we were indicted. We were indicted. Our lives are so busy. And sometimes we wonder, is this God thing? I call myself a Christian. Is it really real? Don't beat yourself up too much, because God's people did the same thing. And in the time that it took for Moses to stay up on the mountain and receive from God's hand the tablets carved by God's finger in stone, which I don't think took him too long. In that length of time, when he carried the stones with him and finally got down to a place, an overlook where he could see the children, in that length of time, these slaves who had been delivered during the past 50 days of Pentecost from the oppressors were now worshiping the very gods of their Egyptian masters in 50 days. 50 days is all it took. And I can't blame poor Moses. You know, those of you in management and leadership, you get frustrated sometimes. You teach people protocol and you have expectations and you come and it's just not there. And I just can't blame Moses for just having a little road rage experience and say, oh, come on, you guys. How could you? And just maybe he didn't really throw them. Maybe he stumbled because he was so upset, shut his eyes for a minute. But whatever it was, those tablets fell and disintegrated. How could you? Well, if that's ever happened to you, know this. Did God just reject them just because they messed up? Did he say, you're no longer my children? Can't you even appreciate that 50 days ago you were oppressed and you were enslaved and I gave you food and water and I've taken care of you and I'm getting you over to the land of milk and honey? If you'll just get over there another couple weeks, you'll be there. But they chose otherwise. So I want now to share with you in conclusion 3 texts of scripture from which this whole story has emerged. Denise, would you turn with Denise to Exodus 23, 14 to 17. So that's our first text, just 3. And this is where I would love to have you do some more research on your own to verify if your pastor's telling you the truth or not. Okay? So first, let's look at Exodus.
Three times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. Three times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord.
All right, so let's start with the three times a year. These three feasts are known as the Feasts of Feet among the Jewish brothers and sisters. The Feast of Feet. Basically, it meant that you had to walk to get to where you were going to celebrate. The first feast mentioned is for 7 days, and it's also mentioned in other places. It's the Passover, okay? And it's the one that they celebrated unleavened bread, eating that, and then the Passover, and that was the next morning they walked out of Egypt, okay? Feast of Feet, the men had to come back to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover. The second followed right on its heels. That was the Feast of... Yes? Harvest. Okay? And you can, when you look at the Feast of Harvest, you will see in many places it lasted 7 weeks. And that was where you started with the barley and ended with the wheat. And that is also known as Pentecost. And the third feast was the Feast of... In gathering, and that happened a few months later. So we're talking about two of the feasts here today. And now I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy 16, 9 and 10, where it becomes more clear about the Feast of Weeks, of 7 weeks. Deuteronomy 16, 9 and 10.
Count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you.
Yes, and go ahead and read verse 11.
And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name.
Yes.
You, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, the Levites in your towns, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows living among you.
I love this part, and that's why I thank you for worship team for those beautiful songs. That they're some of my favorite. I was able to choose today, all expressing joy. The Feast of Weeks was not a feast of tears. It was a feast of the celebration of the harvest. First, the first harvest, the barley harvest, and then the wheat harvest. It was a time when they ate. They did not fast, in contrast to 2 days from now, when 1 billion Muslims around the world are going to fast from sunup to sundown for a whole month. This feast was a feast of eating and rejoicing and being happy together, kind of like our fellowship meal, which is about to follow. All right? And this is what God wanted. He wanted us and his people to remember that there is a time to cry and there is also a time to laugh and smile. And the Feast of Weeks was all about smiling. Now, I'd like for you to conclude with Leviticus 23, 15 to 17.
From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord.
All right. So that's what ties that Passover celebration and connects it directly with the 7 weeks and the 50 days. So, when you leave today, even if you can't count real fast, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, even if you can't, and even if you can't win the contest, don't forget that God has a special blessing with the word, with the number 50. 50. The first day is the day when you walk through the Red Sea. Have any of you experienced walking through the Red Sea, knowing that you were in deep trouble, and without a miraculous intervention, you knew that you were going to have a terrible catastrophe? I'm going to suggest that if you have not had that experience, wait for it, because it'll come. It'll come. Someday you will get to that place where, as with the children of Israel, you will know that the enemy is behind you and there is no possible logical solution except for him. Now, as you take your steps past that first day through the Red Sea, and you go through the wilderness of life, and you see God over and over again delivering because he loves you, he cares for you. Even if you wake up some morning and you're a little discouraged about things, know this, he never stops. He won't stop the manna just because you're doubting it. He won't stop providing water for you just because you're not sure, just because your mouth is dry and you're dehydrated and you think, I will never, ever get another drink. God continues to deliver because it's his nature. And Pentecost is all about celebrating that. And the Feast of Weeks is put there to help us know that we can eat and be joyful about our God. But there is one last little piece of Pentecost, and that's the piece that we know the best. The very first day after the end of the first feast was a Sunday. The Passover ended on Sabbath. And on Friday, or some scholars, they argue, Thursday, before Sabbath, Jesus died. He rested on Sabbath, of that everyone agrees. And on Sunday morning, which was now the first day of Pentecost, the festival of the 7 weeks, Jesus rose. Jesus rose just like the children had a miraculous intervention and walked through the Red Sea. Jesus saved this world when he rose. And that began day one. By day 40, Jesus was defying ground zero and leaving. Prior to just his moving up into the air with his disciples absolutely thunderstruck at what was going on, he had told them, I am going to give you a comforter, somebody who will live with you and in you. You will not need to be afraid. And in fact, this comforter is going to give you more power. You will do even greater things than I have done. And I can just see the disciples saying, oh yeah, oh sure. And 10 days later, but he did say, wait and pray. It wasn't a long time. And 10 days later, after the disciples had gathered to pray and they had put away their differences, there was an outpouring of Pentecost. On that 50th day, the day that God had a birthday on that mountain by giving his precious character written down in stone. On that same day, 1,300 years later, God gave to his church the great gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is with us today. Can you say amen to that? That gift is not just something that we can tangibly hold. It's dynamic. It's real. It's life. None of us can explain how God can live in us. But he says he does if we ask him, do you believe that God is living in you today? You must know. It's not so hard. It's not so mysterious. We don't have a mysterious religion, but it is a miraculous one, and it's one that we can't always explain. What we know today, what 50 means to me today, is that today God lives in us no matter what. His Spirit is there, and it doesn't matter what obstacles you are about to face, whether you're going to go into major debt that seems like you're in a downward spiral, whether a loved one is struck down, made sick, or killed, whether you're going to cry some tears of bitterness this afternoon because someone you love is unfaithful. It doesn't matter what is around the corner. The Holy Spirit, 50, 50, it means the Holy Spirit is living in you and giving you power to walk through this life and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I invite you, my brothers and sisters, if you're children and you're afraid, or you're not accepted, or you're hopeless, you are loved because of the 50 celebration. And I invite you never to forget it. 50. Can you say it with me? 50. 50. 50. Lord in heaven, you brought your people through the wilderness. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim in this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me in thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord be with you. Have a place with you in your heart by the power of his Spirit. May the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Spirit, the forgiveness and the compassion of the Son be with you now and forevermore. Amen.